This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas. Here's Matt Perrault.
We continue live in Las Vegas from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, and we go to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline, where we find Charles Davis from Fox and the NFL Network, brought to you by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. One of the great broadcasters in the game. Charles, Matt Perrault, how are you?
Matt, how you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. I want to ask you something about Bill Belichick at the top here, because I read a quote from you talking about Tom Landry, and you were cut by Tom Landry. And I'm wondering, when Belichick got out of the plane wearing his dad's fedora, did you think Tom Landry?
You know, that's a great tie-in, Matt. I like that a lot, because that was part of the signature of Landry as he advanced in his career. And you go back and look at coaching staffs, you know, in the good old days, all coaches wore coat and tie, fedora, long jacket when necessary. I'm talking about head coach, assistants, the whole thing. Then it evolved into just the head coach was wearing the formal wear. And then, of course, as you started to sell things on the sidelines, everybody got into coaching gear. And that ended that. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, the person that really ushered it in a lot of ways, the sideline apparel and being paid, Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones, because they did it where they cut a deal. They cut a deal with Starter and the whole thing, and that really had it take off. Not that people weren't wearing the coaching gear, but it really took off in terms of monetizing it. But anyway, that's just another story for another day. But I love your tie in there with him wearing that, and we know why Coach Belichick wore it, to honor his father. Because the last time they played the Eagles in the Super Bowl, that was his dad's last Super Bowl, and he passed after that. And, you know, his reverence for his father and his reverence for coaches that he's had in the past and people he's learned for, well documented, and I can tell you as a fact, there's no affectation on it at all. It's sincere.
Bill Belichick is called the greatest coach of all time. I would agree. I'm curious if you agree as well, given the fact that you were someone around Tom Landry, at least, and saw him in his coaching capacity.
Look, I have no argument at all for those who say that Belichick's the greatest of all time. I think that we all are a product of our time and a product of where we were in the game then. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, and this, I believe, if Coach Belichick was standing next to me, I don't think he would take offense at this. If I were to say, look, if people say he's the greatest of all time, I would buy into it, but it's a product of this time because of the things that he has done. The other ones who were playing during their time, am I going to say that he's better than Landry? Is he better than Lombardi? Okay, is he better than Knoll? Is he better than, right, we just go on to Walsh.
Right.
We just go on down the line. I think the accumulation of Super Bowl appearances and titles, that's a big part of it. But if we're going to say that, go pre-Super Bowl era, Matt, and then say Paul Brown, because we didn't have the Super Bowl. But just think of the number of championships and championship games the Browns were in. They had a run there in a 10-year period where I think they were in 8 or 9 of them. So, I mean, you know, okay. But again, it was a different time, a different era, different place, and I think it's probably the hardest time now to do what Bill Belichick is doing. So that's why I'd have no argument with it at all. And I'm talking about free agency,
right?
Those guys didn't have it. Remember do you remember the great story about Lombardi in free agency? Did you ever hear that one, Matt?
No.
He was with the Packers, and of course he's the head coach and the GM. And you remember the name Jim Ringo, who was in the Hall of Fame, a Hall of Fame center. And he was a center for the Packers. He showed up 1 year to do contract negotiation. But back in those days, Matt, players did negotiations with the old man themselves. And essentially, you walked in and he said, this is what I'm going to pay you. And that was the end of your negotiation.
Right.
Well, Ringo walks in with a guy. And Lombardi says, who is this guy? And Jim said, well, coach, he's going to do my contract for me this year. I just thought it'd be better to have someone to do that, which, of course, is where we are nowadays.
Right.
Lombardi looked at him, looked at Ringo, said, excuse me a moment, left the room, and then came back and said, sir, you are negotiating with the wrong team. Jim Ringo is now the property of the Philadelphia Eagles.
And that's a Belichick
move. And no one else brought anyone else to the table for Vince Lombardi.
It's very true. And Belichick, I think, would have thrived in that environment if he had had the opportunity.
God, he would have loved it. But think of how he's thrived now where all the changes. I mean, Matt, for me, to help people make that case, take the roster from when they beat Seattle, which was, what, 2014?
Mm-hmm.
Take the roster from where they won it last year, and take the roster from last year to this year, and count up the number of changes.
Well,
yet they're
yeah.
still the New England Patriots, still top of the list. That's incredible.
And they have 18 undrafted players on the roster going into the Super Bowl, which I think is really an underreported fact about the Patriots and Belichick, because they can afford to pay guys, Gronk and Brady,
yep.
You know, Brady takes far below market value, and still have a competitive team because he finds those diamonds in the rough. You cover the NFL draft. Why does Bill Belichick, how can he find these guys who help them, and they're not making big contracts? They're all on one-year deals, and they're all making, you know, $500,000.
Two things come to mind for me, Matt. Evaluation, and someone said this to me recently, that Bill Belichick does the best job of anyone he knows of defining what he wants from someone in a specific instance. So every single coach of his, every single scout of his, they have a strict definition, and it's defined. This is what I'm looking for. Okay, characteristics, traits, this, and this. This is how they fit into what we want to do. This is where I think we can maximize them. So they evaluate very well. So even the undrafted free agents, they've evaluated and deemed them, hey, he fits this way, this way, this way. And then they develop the heck out. They coach them. And this is a harder job now than ever because, as you know, Matt, you can't touch them the way you used to.
Right?
The collective bargaining agreement, you can't coach them in the offseason that way. You can't do this. They coach these guys so well that's how it works out. And a lot of it is very simply this. We don't care what they can't do. We want to know what they can do,
mm-hmm.
and we want to turn that loose. Kyle Van Noy struggled in Detroit, right? And he was a second round pick,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's like, I don't know if he can play. Kyle Van Noy is a key cog in New England.
Right.
They maximize what he does well, and here's Kyle Van Noy going to start for a second straight year on a Super Bowl team when Detroit deemed him expendable, and Detroit has been to a Super Bowl never.
Right.
And the last time they went to an NFL championship was, what, 1957?
Is that sort of the same thing with James Harrison, where you've got a veteran 39-year-old player that the Steelers say he can't play anymore, we can't find him, he can't get on the field, and now with the Patriots, he's in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, and as part of that, and you know what else it is that Belichick in New England, the guy still has some plays left in him. They just maximize when they turn him loose, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to play an X number of plays. We're going to have you fresh for when it's time to go get the quarterback. And they also know the pride of a James Harrison who wakes up kicked off every morning.
Yep.
And they're turning him loose. Now, they've done it so well that we forget at times, okay, and I'm not saying this is a knock, but no one can bat 1,000, right? You remember Adalius Thomas?
Oh, yes. There's plenty of busts. They missed on plenty of high draft pick guys.
And it doesn't always work out, right? But at the same time, because they're so good at what they do, Bill Belichick has the stroke of, if we make a mistake, we can actually cut that mistake. Most coaches don't have that luxury because the owner's going to say, no, right?
Yeah.
You figure it out. You drafted him. And he's like, no, it doesn't work. Like, you know, who did they trade for? Coney Ealy this year.
Yep.
The defensive end. They trade for him, right? Give up draft pick. They figured out in training camp, not going to work. Cut him. Get rid of him. He ends up with the Jets. So they have that ability that when the time comes, plus he is very dispassionate about football. He likes his players. Don't let people fool you. He likes the guys. But when it comes to football decisions, he will make football decisions. He cut Randy Moss.
Mm-hmm.
He liked Randy Moss, but he thought it was done, and he
mm-hmm.
cut it. And because he's so upfront about it, you notice that guys he's cut who are upset in the beginning, they eventually come back to the fold anyway. Willie McGinnis, right? Randy Moss. All those guys come back and still want to identify as Patriots because I think he's very upfront and doesn't lie to them.
Well, okay, and I do want to get to an Eagles question before I run out of time here, but what does the Jimmy Garoppolo trade say to you then? Because that seems to be outside of the norm for Belichick.
Yeah. It says that there's a story there that we haven't totally gotten yet.
that's
what it says to me. Because that doesn't seem like a normal Bill Belichick move.
Right.
That almost feels like there were some other pressures that came to bear, and he sent him to a place where He trusted the people that he sent him to because he cared about Garoppolo. I think he has a great amount of respect for John Lynch, who tried to play for him at the end of his career. Sent him there. And don't forget, he sent him to the NFC.
Right. As far away, physically, as far away as you could possibly get in this country, football-wise.
If he has to deal with him, it'll be in a Super Bowl. Regular season, he's not that worried about, and it's only every so often anyway. But if I have to deal with him, it would be a Super Bowl. So have fun, Jimmy, and good luck.
All right, so who leaves first, Brady or Belichick, in your mind?
I still say Brady leaves first. I mean, what he's doing is just unparalleled right now in the sport that we're playing, to play at this level. You know, everybody wants to fight George Blanda.
Right.
George Blanda didn't do it like this for this long. George Blanda was a kicker for all those years and had the one year where he came off the bench a few times, not the focal point of the offense for so long. And again, not a knock against Blanda. It was phenomenal what he did. But Brady's running out there taking every snap. That's different.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right, Charles, so the game itself, I like the Patriots here. The public is all over the Eagles. Where are you coming up for Sunday? Who do you like?
Oh, boy. I mean, we'd all be crazy to pick against the Patriots, wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we would absolutely nuts to do it because we've seen them do it so many different times. I'm going to be nuts and pick against them.
Ooh.
Okay? I'm taking the Eagles by one. And the only reason I'm doing that is I feel like what Atlanta did last year, couldn't close the deal. I think this Eagles team comes in with a better defense than Atlanta had last year.
Agreed.
I think they come in a little more dispassionate about what they're doing. Because remember, Chris Long and LeGarrette Blount were there last year. They're on the other side saying they're not supermen, okay? They're just really, really good. Well, we are too. Let's go get them. There's just so many things, and let's be honest about it. You're flipping a coin, and to pick against them, you're saying that somehow Brady doesn't make the big play late. I'm saying he can still make the big play, but what if they miss a field goal late? You know, it's things of that nature. It's just a matter of, you know, I like the Eagles because I think they're athletic. I think that they're strong-minded. If Foles can get in rhythm early, and if it's a big if, but if he can, you're fine. To me, Jacksonville played them off their feet for a long time in that game. And this offense that Philadelphia has is way better than what Jacksonville put on the field.
Oh, yes.
So that's why I'm going there. You know, something has to end at some point. I'm just kind of taking a shot. But let's be honest about it. If New England wins the game, we're all going, yeah. Who's that Davis dumb you picked against New England?
I don't think you're crazy, and there's people putting multi-million-dollar money down here in Vegas on that pick.
Big money on
the Eagles to do it. So you're not that crazy, at least people who have the million-dollar bankrolls to go ahead and put that on the Eagles. Charles, thank you for the time. Really appreciate it. This was a lot of fun.
Hey, it's been a blast for me. Thanks a lot for having me on and continued success to you. Tell Sean Hay for me, okay?
Will do, absolutely. That is Charles Davis.
All right, talk to you later.
From Fox and the NFL Network, Sean Salisbury here on the afternoon Sean Salisbury show here on SB Nation Radio. Okay, we're way over. Lots more to come, including Hannah Teeter, who